to work with families, school groups, social groups, churches, to dramatize stories of all kinds. Now, this week there are a lot of workshops that are going on that have storytelling as the base of these stories. So I'm going to show you a technique tonight that I think we can all use probably to go back to wherever we came from and maybe turn some of our own stories or stories that we know and love into theater in a very simple way by adding elements to it that you maybe haven't thought of before. Tonight we're going to look at probably one of the most famous stories of the Old Testament, and that's the story of Jonah and the whale. And I've opened the Bible to the book of Jonah, and I'd like to ask a volunteer to read the story to us again and reacquaint us with it. Any volunteers to read? Okay, John, through chapter 3, verse 3.
Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God, and they threw the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call upon your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we do not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and whence do you come? What is your country, and to what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Take me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried to the Lord, "We beseech thee, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, "I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and thou didst hear my voice. For thou didst cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood was round about me, all thy waves and thy billows passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out from thy presence. How shall I again look upon thy holy temple? The waters closed in over me, the deep was round about me, weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet thou didst bring up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their true loyalty, but I with a voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to thee what I have vowed. I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord." The Lord spoke to the fish, and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth.
Okay, we'll stop it there. Now, everyone's heard and read that story many times, right? As most stories that you know, whether they're fairy tales or family stories, they're stories that are retold and retold again. Now, we've just heard it read from the Bible. What I'd like someone to do right now, or maybe we can do it as a group, is to tell the story of Jonah and the whale. Tell the story. You've heard it read. Now let's tell it. See if we can tell it together and recreate the story for each other. Just from what you've heard. You've been refreshed again. Anybody want to volunteer to start it?
Jonah was asked by God to go to the people of Nineveh and tell them to repent. And Jonah didn't want to do that, and so he goes in the opposite way to Tarsus, I believe, and goes by boat when a great storm blows up. And he begins to fear that that's because of his not wanting to go tell the people of Nineveh about God. And so when the sailors keep rowing and rowing, and when the storm doesn't abate, they said to Jonah, well, who are you? And he said, I'm a Hebrew. And then they said, this bright means none. He said, when they asked him what they should do, he says, throw me overboard. And they still don't want to do it. They keep rowing. But finally, when the water doesn't abate, they throw him overboard, and then the storm stops. And he's swallowed in the belly of a fish for 3 days. And then the men, all the sailors offer sacrifice, and Jonah is tossed on the shore and goes to Nineveh.
Any corrections, any changes, additions, embellishments?
Didn't Jonah pray when he was in the belly of
the fish? Oh, yeah, he did.
He also hid in the belly of the boat before he...
Yeah, right.
And also he went to Nineveh, he fiercely carried with great zeal of his message. And in fact, he's in the belly of the whale, reinforced his message.
Okay. Any other elements to this story that we haven't mentioned?
Nineveh was a mighty city, 3 days' journey across.
Okay. Right at the end of what we read. Okay, I'd like us to tell that. I'd like somebody to tell that story again, but I want you to tell it as if you were telling it to someone who had never heard the story before, and try to personalize it as much as you can in a storytelling manner. Make it your own story as if you were telling this story of Jonah. Anybody want to give it a shot? And again, we can add on. Somebody gets stuck, somebody else can add in.
Have you heard kind of thing?
Yeah. This is a story that you just heard, and it's just the most amazing story you've ever heard in your life. And you're going to share it with us. And you really, really want to share it with us up to this point. Anybody want to be a brave soul and stuff? You didn't know this was going to be a pressure kind of presentation, did you? Somebody give me a starting line.
Once upon a time.
Okay, once upon a time. We
had time before Christ.
In a far off city.
Once upon a time before Christ.
Before the coming of Christ.
Before the coming of Christ, there was a man named... There was a man who lived in...
A Jewish man.
A Jewish man who lived in a city. What was the name of the city?
No.
He's going to Tarsus, but I don't know where
he's from. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise. Where is he? We don't really... He was near Joppa. Okay. He was near Joppa because he went down to Joppa to catch a boat to Tarshish. Where was Tarshish? He was told to go to Nineveh. Where was Tarshish?
The opposite direction.
Yeah, so the other direction as far as he could go away from Nineveh. Possible. Okay. Let's start the story again. Once upon a time,
there's this guy named Jonah. Okay, this Hebrew named Jonah. He was from Java. And God said, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them all about me. Someone else want
to
take over.
And he said, not me, man. I mean, I have other things to do, and they won't like it. I mean, what if they do something to me? I don't want to do it. I don't want to go.
And God said, hey, dude, you're gone.
And Nineveh was terrible. Nineveh was the Las Vegas and beyond.
Okay, good. Keep it coming. Throw in a sentence.
Well, Sin City.
So Jonah decided if God could find him where he was, he would take a ship as far away as Nineveh as possible so that God couldn't find him anymore.
Okay.
The problem was he couldn't find a ship.
Okay.
At least not voluntarily, anyway.
And then what happened? Where's he going? Where does he want to go? He's fine. We have his...
Let's go to Tarshish.
North.
He wants to go the opposite direction of Nineveh, to Tarshish.
Okay.
And so he hides in the belly of the ship, and, well...
Oh, wait, he's not on the ship yet.
No.
He goes down to...
Joppa.
Which is what? To explain. So, if nobody knows... The port city. And where does he go to find his ship? Where would he go?
The harbor, maybe?
Go down to the harbor, and what would he do there?
He negotiates for passage.
Yeah, and the Bible says he paid the fare. He paid, he's not cheap. So he paid the fare, and he got on board. Okay. And he's going with them to Tarshish, away from Nineveh. Okay, now what happens?
Well, the sea's sailors were kind of crude fellows. He didn't really get along with them very well. So he kept at his quarters for the most part.
Okay, but what happens first? Because he's going, why is he going to Tarshish? We had it over here.
To get away from God.
To get away from the Lord, to get away from God. So, if he's getting away from God, he's hiding. And then what happens?
He begins to think about this and feel guiltier and guiltier.
Okay.
And the wind starts to blow.
Okay.
Does he know the guilt first, or does he? The wind.
The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 4, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon a sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. So that the ship threatened to break up.
So that he didn't feel.
We don't know anything about Jonah up until that point, do we? But we do know what's happening.
He took a nap. You know he took a nap.
No, you know he was getting sick.
He's hiding at the bottom, sick. Which is the least most stable part of the ship.
Yeah. Little later on, we hear, but Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. And so the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise and call upon your God. So we do know that in advance he had gone. What? Was he guilty? Was he afraid? No, not at that point.
God takes a lot of energy.
Yeah. He's, boy, I'm on ship now. I paid my fare. I'm going to Tarshish. The other direction. Wow. Yep, I got it made. I'm down in the bottom of the ship.
Maybe God could see him while he was on the deck, too.
You don't know how he thought, but... Okay, so we have this huge storm, a tempest, a huge, huge storm going on. Okay, then what happened?
See, I was thinking he was getting sick because of that storm.
But he wasn't. He was fast asleep down below. Yeah, at this point.
The captain comes down and says, look, we've prayed to all the gods we can think of. But you're not one of us. You must have a god of your own you can pray to.
But first, the tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid and each cried to his god. And they threw the wares that were into the ship, into the sea to lighten the ship for them. So what's happening? Jonah's down below sleeping, and what's going on above deck?
Chaos.
Chaos, and what is everybody doing? Yeah, everything they can. They're throwing things overboard, supplies, and everybody is praying to his God in his own way. Okay? Now, so then we have the captain coming down. The captain says what?
Call upon your God. Who are you? And who is your God first, isn't it?
Yeah, he says, what do you mean, you sleeper? First he said, what are you doing down here? You're sleeping. And then he says, arise, call upon your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us so that we do not perish. And then we get a feeling that what happens? That he goes, that Jonah goes up on deck with everybody else. And what are they doing? What is everybody up there doing?
They're panicking.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out anything, and so they're going, they're casting lots. For what?
Throw somebody, whoever's causing this, the lots will determine who it is, and they'll get rid of them.
The God of the sea, you know, offering sacrifice, whatever. And they're figuring out who they can get, you know, by fair casting lots. So they're doing that. And who gets caught? Jonah. And so they did that, and they said to us, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Whence do you come? What is your country? And of what people are you? So what are they doing to him? They cast lots, and they went.
Cross-check to see if this is real.
Yeah, and they went, okay, you were Lot. Now, who are you? What? Maybe you're the reason for all of this, right?
It sounds like they haven't really decided to throw them overboard yet, though.
No, they're casting lots. They were trying to put the blame someplace, because this obviously it was directed at this ship, and it's threatening to break this ship up. So they've got to zero in on it. So they're working, and they find, and all I'm doing is just on a basic story level, they're trying to figure out where to place the blame, and so they do that by doing this real inquisition of him, and they carry on this inquisition. And then what does John say? I am a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So what did Jonah say in this questioning sequence?
I got on board because I wanted to get away from God.
And then they knew. They knew that he was the one. Okay, then what happened?
Then they tried not to do anything. They tried a little harder because they really don't want to throw him overboard.
Yeah, and then they said to him,
what
should we do with you? That the sea may quiet down for us. For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, take me up and throw me into the sea. He said, then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest came upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried to the Lord, we beseech thee, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Okay, what happened during that sequence?
they realized the power of God. Jonah's testimony converted them until they sacrificed to God instead of to their idols.
Okay, and they changed. Okay, now, I'm just going to stop right there. That's the point that Jonah is thrown in the whale. Now, in the technique of story dramatization, and I roughly put some steps up here, the first step is to convert, whether it's a read story or a story that's passed down by family tradition. I have used this technique for church histories. If any of you attend a church that has a long history, I've created church histories in this manner by gathering people's stories about what happened, and then by converting those stories into a dramatic form that congregations can perform for themselves in a dramatization form for anniversaries and so forth. So usually they publish a written history of a church, but sometimes this is another approach and it becomes kind of a celebration. But you can do it with all kinds of family stories, fairy tales, and biblical stories. The first step is always putting the story in your own words, so you're able to tell it, so everybody is talking in the same terms, like we were doing. And it doesn't have to be totally accurate on all details, because it's story. If you've ever listened to children, if you've ever told your children stories, and they pass the stories on and tell them to other kids, what happens to those stories? They take life of their own, right? And there's something really wonderful about that. And sometimes they make the story better than it was when it first started. So the first thing is to tell the story. Then the second step is to divide the story into dramatic scenes. And what I mean by that is that each scene has a beginning, a middle, and end by itself. So something happens, and then that has a completion by itself, and then something else happens, and that has a completion by itself, and then something else happens. How many scenes have we gotten so far? Give me some scenes. What's the first scene?
God and Jonah.
Okay, we have God and Jonah. Whoops. We have God and Jonah.
Jonah leaves and goes to Joppa.
Okay, then Jonah to Jonah at Joppa. Jonah at Joppa. That is a nice alliteration. Okay, what's the next scene?
Jonah in the belly of the ship.
Okay, but what happens before that? We actually, that whole ship sequence is, even though it happens on two levels, we're really talking about the ship by itself, right? The ship.
On board.
Okay. And so far, have we gotten beyond that?
No.
That's all we've got. Now, let's see if we can recreate exactly what happens there, and also figure out how many characters we have there in each of the scenes. Okay, scene number one.
God and Jonah.
Okay, we've got two characters, God and Jonah, one location. Okay, what about Jonah and Joppa?
Jonah and the captain of the ship.
Or? What other characters might be there? Yeah. Longshoremen, sailors, the captain of the ship, the purser of the ship, the whatever. We can expand that in any way we want. And I'll show you some techniques that might help you to do that. So there's a really unknown in that element. What about the ship?
main characters.
Who are the main characters?
Jonah and the captain.
Jonah and the captain, and then?
The crew.
Quite a few crew.
And a crew, and we don't really know, and that can be a larger group of people too, or it may not be a large group of people. Okay. Now, what I'm suggesting right here, and what we're going to do is just spend a couple of minutes doing, no more than 5 minutes. I want right these five people right here, from you on over, I want you to look at the first scene and figure out what might happen in that first scene, and if you were going to bring those characters as real characters and actors, what actually might happen in that scene, okay? Now, because the next scene is a little bigger, I'm gonna help here, so if we'll take from here on over to this side of the post. If you wanna come right from, just split right there. Split right there. And then this group over here, I want you to be Jonah and the captain and the crew. Now, this is what I want you to do in your small group. And we're gonna I'll give you 5 minutes. What I want you to do, first of all, talk over in your group what actually happens in that story, in that part of the story, that scene of the story. Then I want you to figure out what kinds of dialogue might happen if you were going to personalize this story and make it live for somebody today who wasn't there. And you don't have to worry about the quotations being the same. Like, what might happen? Let me give you some other suggestions too. Think about surrounding the scene as if you were beginning with, sometimes in movies, have you noticed how they start at a very wide shot and you just hear sounds, and you hear, for instance, on the docks, what might you hear? You know, workmen singing, you might hear creaking of ropes and people groaning and grunting and doing things, whatever. People on the ship, you might hear, we'll need a storm, won't we? And we might think about how we can do a storm, and I'll give you some ideas later on. And we might think about sailor. What are sailors going to do? What about the prayers? What about the prayers to the various gods? Maybe that's different languages. Maybe a gibberish kind of language that we really don't understand. Different ways of worshiping. Again, try to let your minds go free. And the important thing here is to know there's no such thing as wrong or right. And it doesn't become a finished product. This is the process of story dramatization. Okay, so get together in your groups if you want to, and share. Okay, to start out, what happens on the ship? What happens in that
ship?
Well, actually, that happens as well. So he's on the ship, you're on the ship, and the ship is at sea. That's the next scene. The ship is at sea. Okay, there's rock, and that's great. Everybody, there's that sense of the boat. So people,
we have a scene.
Yeah, walking. Right. What are the kinds of things that
happen?
Tying up the ropes.
Okay.
Getting the sail.
And maybe we have orders shouting back and forth. Alas, it's gone! Below the line, below the line, below the line. You know, the relay of commands, maybe. I'm sure it happened then, too. Relay of commands on ships. Maybe what else kind of things happen? And then, at one point, because they start sailing for a while and everything's fine, right? Because we know what happens to Jonah. He comes on board, what does he do?
All by himself.
Yeah, he goes down, well, he's not hiding that point, but partially, maybe hiding. He goes down and he goes to sleep. So things have got to be nice by that time when he goes to sleep. And then suddenly, what happens? A storm happened. So suddenly, so how can we have a storm suddenly happen?
Just with this
journey. Or maybe even a sharp, what do we usually think of, an announcement of a, yeah, thunder or something. Or you can have the idea, if everybody is together, everybody kind of links together, and you're all doing the same kind of thing as you're moving around, so everybody, even though you're walking, you're all on the same ground. I mean, that's a possibility, too. Okay, the storm comes up, and then what happens? And then what I want you to do is figure out it's what Bowman, just review the facts, and try to simplify them as quickly as we can. We know the boat starts sailing, Jonah goes below, a storm happens. The sailors are praying, and they say, this boat is going to, the ship is going to crack up. Then, next point, they pray to all their individual gods. Next point, the captain goes down, because there's one person on board that they have to talk to. Captain goes down, talks to Jonah. Okay, what I want you to do is just review those facts and figure out what might happen, what dialogue might happen with the sailors, what dialogue might happen between Jonah and the captain, what kind of other embellishments might happen. No, and then it comes up, then figure out what those next steps are. And if anybody wants to copy the Bible, to check.
I think he goes down and
wants to get away before God will realize.
Yeah, he goes down and brings them up and right. That's after he gets up. Right.
Are we having something back?
But the Lord hurled a great wind.
Okay, so the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. So the kind of rabbi. And the mariners were afraid, and each tried to meet his own God. And they were
by Isaiah or several of the Isaiah
in the ship. We're in the ship and let's
see what I'm talking about.
Take your so water to the inner part of the ship. Maybe you can have
so the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, sir? I was called upon your and they said to one another, come, let us
so in this case, we could skip the sentence in the dream. He could come down. He and his wife would meet for breakfast. He could tell us.
So how are the dream people going to have to speak?
Why? Oh, no,
because
the voice
is
going
to
give them.
And they said to them, this is
wrong. Oh, here I have a dream. Very wrong voice.
A rod. How can he present
a down there? Wrong issue.
Use a dream. And the idea of the wife. The idea of the wife. It's a good device. It's a good device. If you had Jonah, maybe Jonah and his wife are going to bed at night, and suddenly a voice comes. And Jonah responds. And then he goes back to the wind. Yes, God is
delivered. You don't want to.
Then
you have a con man, and the con man doesn't give me
a way to make this thing. I'm going to be quiet for a little bit here.
To see more than
but he may not be able to die.
Yes. He says
he's
going
to
take me up.
He calls Whitey going to the car seat. We know these.
For I know it's just like I'm going to be.
But suppose, you know, go overland. God could explain, say, go overland and Nineveh.
Or all you have to do is
to Nineveh.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But we can add that.
Why is he going to the direction? It doesn't mean he knows our service is the opposite.
Let me take your picture.
How are we coming over here?
We just read the story.
I think they go east and trying to work in.
Did it help? Did it help?
Got to the
carpet. Okay.
Find you that you're going that far west.
Okay. What's happening on board ship?
That would explain.
Okay, pandemonium. While you're sitting, you don't have to get up. You don't have to get up. Just let's have a pleasant ship for a while. Let's just kind of rock. The ship is going, and let's have different people do things. Okay, and pass orders around.
Jonah.
How was your leave or your liberty?
You hear that?
Now we can have sounds. We can have sounds of seagulls. That's fine. It's nice and bright. It's a bright and sunny day. A sailing song. What I'm going to talk about is that's how you use if you would incorporate this in a congregation setting or a social
life.
The process for doing this is getting people to try on every part. So you'll have somebody be, I've got a good idea for a dialogue for Jonah, and you try that out.
No.
You have somebody else try another character. Yeah. Try some sounds. And then the whole key, and I'll talk about this if we get back together, is that you discuss this and you say, what worked? What didn't work? you know, I'd say the song, you know, the sailing song is a really good idea because that immediately says there's a group of sailors, and while they're working, they're singing the song. And you maybe even create your own song. I'd say a seagull. Good idea. I think let's keep some sounds of seagulls in the background, and maybe some creaking of ships, you know, all those sounds, and then the storm comes up, and maybe set some dialogue. So you discuss through the process of what actually happened. Can you make it as real as possible for the situation?
Okay.
Then you go through the actual dialogue. Just have to watch that book right now. Somebody be Jonah and somebody be the captain, for instance.
It all takes place. I think that's a good point. That on man is.
You want to be Jonah? Okay, you're Jonah. Okay, make a woman captain. Fine.
You're here. Okay.
And the captain is. So, yeah, somebody first made it say, okay, is everybody up here? Is everybody prayed to their own God? What's the storm? Not getting worse. You know, you got to do something. What happened? So the first mate says to the captain.
Captain, we've thrown everything overboard. What are we going to do?
Get up on board. You heard what she said.
Yeah, my first mate's I'm away.
Come on. Okay, why don't we move back? Just turn back to your wife. Okay. Now, what we're going to do is just get kind of a sampling of what happened in each group. Now, what we were really doing this and had time to move around, and I know most of you, in order to introduce people into this kind of improvisation, story improvisation, you would do some simple improvisation exercises, getting people to try on various characters, whether they're real characters, animal characters, whatever, getting them to participate as a group in various group activities and group games. So there's a comfort among everybody. In this case, most cases here, people don't really know each other well, and what's the biggest problem with all adults and junior high and senior high kids and college kids that I find when I teach college is that we're all afraid of really saying something that's not going to be accepted by everybody else. We're afraid of making a fool of ourselves, and we're afraid of saying something wrong and being judged for being wrong. Well, one of the things here, there is no right and there is no wrong. So, what we've done is dividing the scenes. We've improv these scenes. What you do is get people to actually try out some of the characters, figure out what happens in the story, the order, beginning, middle, and end. You don't have to have dialogue set. You don't have to write out a script. One of the things that bothers me a lot is I'll get youth leaders from parishes and pastors calling me on the phone at Cal Lutheran where I teach and saying, I want to do some kind of Lenten dramatic service. Do you know any scripts? And my first comment to them is, why don't you do one of your own? Why don't you create your own dramatization? And most people are really afraid of that process. And my point is that it's not that difficult if you allow yourself to experiment. Okay, what we're going to do, just because we didn't actually get up and act it. Otherwise, normally I would say, let's get up and act it. But we're going to just talk about some of the ideas, and I think you'll see the possibilities from this story of some of the ideas that came up from each group. We'll just start at the beginning and just go around. If we can have a spokesperson from each group.
Jonah is asleep in the first scene, and God comes to him in a dream and says, get up and go east to Nineveh. And he wakes up and goes, what was that? And bumps his wife and says, did you hear anything? Goes back to sleep. God comes back again and says, get up, Jonah. Get up and go to Nineveh. Go east. And he gets up and he says, his wife, did you hear anything? No, I didn't hear anything. And he says, well, I've got to take a trip. I've got to go west. I've got to go over to Tarshish on business.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, now what did they add? What did they add to the story?
A wife.
A wife? What else did they add?
A dream?
It's not added. It's in the story.
He got up.
He arose.
Right.
God,
okay. Very good. So, and the wife, what did the wife add to the story?
Really? Humor?
Personal. Human touch.
Yeah. A human touch. It added some humor, some realism. What else? And it was a reason. If you were going to dramatize this, it plays the reality, it plays the scene for the audience, right?
Because
the dialogue.
I was going to say, we did it because he was thinking, I don't want to go. But he didn't tell the Lord that he wasn't going to go to Nineveh.
But he
so
told.
He had to say some way in which, and if he just left, we wouldn't know. Maybe he was going to go in obedience. And if the audience doesn't know that Nineveh is east and Tarsus is west, they wouldn't have, it was some way of getting those two points across.
Great.
Different directions.
Good. So that just in that small beginning, they created some sort of route. Okay, do we have a spokesperson from this second group? We're at Joppa, right? Yeah, Jonah and Joppa. Spokesperson.
Okay. Well, we've got a bar scene. We've got a dock scene initially, and Jonah comes along and asks the person how he could go about arranging to go west. We were actually going south, I think, but it's north.
Spain says.
Go west, young man. And so he gets directed to this bar where all the captains of the ships, this would be the place to contact the captain. So he goes into the bar. And he's looking around the bar to find a captain or find a method of getting on. And the con man gets a hold of him and asks him how he can help him. And the con man eventually manages to get Jonah's money from him, or a certain amount of money, agreeing. I don't know if this was actually gets some money from him and leaves Jonah basically sitting at a table on his own while he's away. Contact a captain or to make the arrangement for him. Of course, the con man goes off with the money, and that gives us the possibilities of a scene with Jonah being very nervous. The first, he's paid his money, he's lost it, and secondly, God could come in at any time or contact him again. So now we've got the rest of the contents of the bar scene, which would consist of drunken sailors, captains, prostitutes, of course, and so on. So prostitutes can approach him at the table, etc., etc., until eventually, whatever happens, Jonah hears a captain or a drunken sailor or something saying that their ship is just about to leave, and just by mere chance, Jonah kind of takes off. Does that kind of cover it?
Okay, now what did that add to the story? For the sake of the story.
Jonah's attitude his innocence.
Okay, anybody else? Okay,
additional reason for being in the hold of the ship, because that implies that he was stowaway, according to what You were upset.
No, he found it.
No,
I think he did.
He paid. Okay.
It also shows the kind of generosity of the sailors. In our scene, they don't want to throw him overboard.
And so the sailors really helped him on.
And so it also gives sympathy to people who have to physically throw John overboard. It's a pretty nasty thing.
Maybe he drank a lot in the bar because he was very afraid of going into the ocean. Most Jews hate the sea.
Okay, that's another addition for a reason for him to be in the bar.
Good reason to be seasick.
Good. Okay, now we're on the ship. We're on the ship. What happened? Spokesperson from the ship.
We got basically stymied. We had this a very extensive part of it's in the Bible. We read through that, and then once we looked at that, I think we felt we didn't know really how to add to that or how to change it. And so we sat around and looked at each other a lot.
but things did happen.
No, what else
saw your group. Sure.
Well, what happened?
The ship. The ship. First, it was peaceful and it was rocking. And we were being seagulls.
Sailors pulling up ropes and swabbing decks and drinking beer.
Drinking beer around.
And singing songs.
Singing songs.
We had a sailing song going on and they were doing physicalization. What else?
Well, then the storm came up. And there's going to be a lot of wind and thunder and
panic.
Pandemonium. And everybody was praying to their own separate gods. Except
Jonah
for
was
one
fast asleep.
Lazy lout in the basement and in the hold was snoring.
Which was Jonah, and I heard some of the sailors say, you know, is everybody up here? No, there's some guy down there snoring really loudly. And then the captain goes down to the front.
Oh, well, I was a captain. I was a wimp, so I had my first mate pick up Jonah. I was too small to deal with him because it's bigger than me. And I just went down there and asked why he wasn't praying to this God. Because, see, this is all in the Bible, so we couldn't really, like, damn this thing, add to it. We can add, like, the little idiosyncrasies of, you know, pushing him around and pulling him up. And then we're supposed to talk to him and ask him why he's not praying to his God because, you know, everyone else is. And how are we going to stop this storm? And he said, well, I was running away from the Lord. And you can throw me overboard and the seal stop. So we didn't get that far.
Okay. Got a good start. Now, what we've done, and additions in that scene would have been the sea, the storm, the sound, other kinds of things, sailors speaking in their own voices, first mate.
I think it would be really great if you could stage it such that there was a scene in, or a little sub-scene where the sailors are talking, this is a milk run. This is the best time of year for sailing. There's no problem with it. The storm hits, it really emphasizes that the concern they have.
Right.
Yeah, that storm was unexpected.
I think also the fact that they were going to draw lots to see, because this is an unnatural thing. And the fact that Jonah, when the captain went down there, he was willing, he didn't offer any resistance. He went up to draw his lot to see if he was the one that was the cause of it. We don't see any resistance, any anger. Total compliance.
He sort of owns up to it.
I don't understand. I guess I'm being naive, but what do they mean draw lots? I was trying to figure out.
It's drawing straws
or
throwing. I think it was stones that were in this different kind.
We talked in our group that particular thing where he seems to own up to it so quickly indicates that he had a great deal of guilt about this all the way through.
So, yeah, he does. And that maybe can be even from the bar scene all the way through.
I think later on, chapter 2, it went after the Nineveh thing. He's suicidal there, too. I mean, it's kind of a theme of
I did it, okay.
It's a couple of times he's ready to go.
I went against the will of God, so I'm guilty of it. Now, what we've just done is done step number 4, which is discuss. Now, your discussion has helped each group, right? Adding various things. What you would do is discuss that, then go back and rehearse. Go back, try some of those ideas, and refine. And you'd probably stop and discuss again. One of the techniques in creative drama is to have different people try out different characters. So you try a different Jonah. Somebody say, I got a great idea for a Jonah, and try that Jonah out. And then as a group, so it becomes a group process that the group talks about what worked and what didn't work. And then somebody keeps track of those things that work, and you keep refining the story. Then you go back and do it again. And you may present in the various groups, like we'd ask this group to do that scene for us. And then we give them feedback, and then they go back and do that again. Then we put it together and finally decide who was going to play what roles, based upon, as a group, you deciding what worked best. Now the important thing is that this can be done by a group. You don't need someone that's in charge. You can make this decision and talk about it amongst yourself. Then what you do, after you have the story pretty well set, you make the additions. Things like, on the ship, let's hear a little ship sound, and you have everybody, what kind of ship sounds can we make? Are the water, creaking ships, voices calling back and forth? This is the kind of thing that if you have a large group of people, you can say, okay, that section of the congregation, you're all ocean. Okay, we need storm back there. We need ship sounds. We need a group of sailors over there. So we provide an atmosphere around which the scenes take place. The bar, music, people talking, just murmuring in the background, just everybody murmur for a little bit. Okay, we've created a bar sound, just like that. Or the sailors all praying to their individual gods. Everybody pray to their individual, just again, we'll hear mass confusion. Okay, all kinds of things happening. Now, all of those additions keep adding in, and then finally, you put it together. And you don't necessarily have to do it as a public performance. You can do it as a group of people. And then what I suggest, for instance, if you're doing a biblical story, I would suggest then bring closure on it by having a discussion about what kinds of things you learn through drama. And I think sometimes you find out more things about that story because you've gotten inside the story. And you felt what these sailors might have felt like. Was Jonah guilty or not guilty? Did God come to him in a dream? What did Jonah do to his family? All these kinds of things. Now, this was very quick, and the process goes a lot longer, but I think you can see the possibilities of working with drama as an active process, not as a performance process. And there are two kinds of ways of dealing with drama. Thank you very much.